Tarea 2.
This last term has been completely different. I have been lecturing online. In other words, I've been sitting down in front of my laptop, feeling faintly silly as I recorded myself addressing an imaginary audience on the history of early Rome. It looks as if I'll be doing the same next year too. And my guess is that is how it will go on at all universities. For reasons that will be variously dressed up as pedagogical progress or hard-headed economic realism. Just think how you could monetize those now unused lecture halls. Students will, of course, go on having all kinds of face-to-face teaching in small groups, seminars, tutorials, and supervisions. But has the iconic stand-up lecture had its day? Would we be better off without it? You'd have to be more of a Luddite than I am not to recognise that there are some advantages of moving online. I talked to a group of my own students last week about how they'd found a term of virtual lectures only. They spoke warmly of the flexibility of being able to watch when you wanted and think how important that could be to people with jobs or caring responsibilities. And they liked being able to replay sections or watch a whole series back to back. I was rather tickled at the idea that they might have binge-watched my early Rome like a box set of Killing Eve. They also saw the downsides, though. Of course, some lectures are always going to be better than others, whether stand-up or virtual. But the online format automatically takes away the simple sense of community that comes with the traditional format. Even if you set up a Zoom Q&A, it removes any feeling of contact, eyeball to eyeball, with the person doing the lecturing. It's that feeling of contact which explains why, before the lockdown, public lectures outside universities were enjoying a big revival. It was the personal interaction that people were paying for. The bottom line here is really the question of what we think lectures are for. In my subject, at least, they are not primarily about imparting information. Sure, they convey some facts, but they're an extremely inefficient way of doing so compared with reading a book. A lecture is about changing students' ways of seeing things, about nerving them to think harder, helping them to take intellectual risks, and showing them how you learnt to do that. It's a conversation, not a performance, even if one side is more loquacious than the other. And to make it successful, you need eye contact. You need to see when they lose you, when they glaze over, or when the penny drops. You need to feel the room. It's about the almost imperceptible but incalculable difference between instructing and inspiring. One of my all-time career highlights was when a young man sidled up to me slightly nervously after a lecture and blurted, "Can I just say, I've never thought about things in that way before." And that, of course, is why delivering a lecture online into the void, or worse, looking at yourself in the screen, for me, doesn't work. There is no conversation. It's just a performance. The next few years are going to be a big make or break time for universities. We don't know whether they will all survive, and we don't know what form survival is going to take. Realistically, though, for all those reasons of cheapness, convenience, and the gloss of apparent modernity, I sadly don't think the traditional university lecture has got much hope of thriving in the post-coronavirus world. I reckon that over my career, I've done getting on for 2,000 of them. I doubt I'll be doing another before I retire. This last term has been completely different. I have been lecturing online. In other words, I've been sitting down in front of my laptop, feeling faintly silly as I recorded myself addressing an imaginary audience on the history of early Rome. It looks as if I'll be doing the same next year too. And my guess is that is how it will go on at all universities. For reasons that will be variously dressed up as pedagogical progress or hard-headed economic realism. Just think how you could monetize those now unused lecture halls. Students will, of course, go on having all kinds of face-to-face teaching in small groups, seminars, tutorials, and supervisions. But has the iconic stand-up lecture had its day? Would we be better off without it? You'd have to be more of a Luddite than I am not to recognise that there are some advantages of moving online. I talked to a group of my own students last week about how they'd found a term of virtual lectures only. They spoke warmly of the flexibility of being able to watch when you wanted and think how important that could be to people with jobs or caring responsibilities. And they liked being able to replay sections or watch a whole series back to back. I was rather tickled at the idea that they might have binge-watched my early Rome like a box set of Killing Eve. They also saw the downsides, though. Of course, some lectures are always going to be better than others, whether stand-up or virtual. But the online format automatically takes away the simple sense of community that comes with the traditional format. Even if you set up a Zoom Q&A, it removes any feeling of contact, eyeball to eyeball, with the person doing the lecturing. It's that feeling of contact which explains why, before the lockdown, public lectures outside universities were enjoying a big revival. It was the personal interaction that people were paying for. The bottom line here is really the question of what we think lectures are for. In my subject, at least, they are not primarily about imparting information. Sure, they convey some facts, but they're an extremely inefficient way of doing so compared with reading a book. A lecture is about changing students' ways of seeing things, about nerving them to think harder, helping them to take intellectual risks, and showing them how you learnt to do that. It's a conversation, not a performance, even if one side is more loquacious than the other. And to make it successful, you need eye contact. You need to see when they lose you, when they glaze over, or when the penny drops. You need to feel the room. It's about the almost imperceptible but incalculable difference between instructing and inspiring. One of my all-time career highlights was when a young man sidled up to me slightly nervously after a lecture and blurted, "Can I just say, I've never thought about things in that way before." And that, of course, is why delivering a lecture online into the void, or worse, looking at yourself in the screen, for me, doesn't work. There is no conversation. It's just a performance. The next few years are going to be a big make or break time for universities. We don't know whether they will all survive, and we don't know what form survival is going to take. Realistically, though, for all those reasons of cheapness, convenience, and the gloss of apparent modernity, I sadly don't think the traditional university lecture has got much hope of thriving in the post-coronavirus world. I reckon that over my career, I've done getting on for 2,000 of them. I doubt I'll be doing another before I retire.